Is the mourning period over, or where do we stand as far as grieving after the Iron Bowl on Saturday?
If you're going through the seven stages of grief, I would say that we're probably on stage number three or four. We were in denial for a couple of days, and we're kind of processing it and kind of trying to determine, you know, what's next. And it's been last couple of days have not been good in Tuscaloosa. But, hey, before we get started, Johnny, I want to say a big congrats to our friend Jeremy Pruitt over in Tennessee. I mean, what a reversal. And I know you didn't get me on to talk about Tennessee, but
no,
I had to,
go ahead.
Yeah, kind of work that in because...
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. When you got to look for positives, and that's a stretch, but I guess a former Alabama coordinator, since things went so awry from last weekend to last night, so I guess you got to look for the positives where you can.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, and I told you guys to be patient with him. I didn't know if he could survive. I got to be honest. I mean, as much as I like him, I didn't know if he could survive, and I know we talked about that a couple of months ago, and everything had kind of hit the wall, but he's a pretty good football coach. And listen, I'll tell you this, if Tennessee was going to try to make a move, I'd have loved to have met him out on the interstate, and I'd have helped him pack his bags and pack the U-Haul if he'd come back down and be our defensive coordinator. So if you guys want to get rid of him, call Nick Saban. We'd love to have him back in T-Town.
Look, we knew back in August that when you lose not one but your two top signal callers on defense, we knew the defensive issues was there's, look, when you lose that many players over the last 3 years early to the draft, you can't afford to lose players to injuries. So you immediately to me, because I would have loved to, honestly, I had a chance to have Dylan Moses on my show back during SEC media days. I would have loved to see how this defense would have played out with those two top players who got hurt. I mean, Dylan didn't even make the field as far as game one, but to have those injuries not occur, to see how this defense would have performed.
It would have been, but, you know, I go back to last year, and, you know, sometimes as media, I love to be able to admit where I made a mistake. You know,
you don't make a lot, so when you make one, no, it's okay to talk about them.
Johnny, my wife would not agree with that. I'm telling you, man, she would not agree with that statement. Okay, so you got to go back and look at a guy like Mack Wilson. Okay, let's look back at last year.
Okay,
look at what that guy's doing in the NFL. You think he learned that in one season? I mean, he's starting at middle linebacker. He was drafted in the fifth round, and we all counted this guy like, oh man, he ain't gonna do nothing. Well, look at what he's doing. And so I kind of look back and I use a 2-year sample size of how much confusion has been on. Yes, Dylan Moses would have made that team a lot smarter from a signal caller. Joshua McMillan would have made that team a lot smarter from a signal call perspective. But then I've also got to look back at some of the confusion that was there last year. Chris Lowe wrote an article from ESPN, and we featured him there. I know he spent a lot of time in Tennessee and in right. Nashville, and is a friend of your program, friend of my program. Chris, just an all-around good dude. He wrote an article that said that last year Pete Golding had to take some responsibility early in September on play calling on the defensive side of the football because Tosh Lapoy couldn't handle, you know, setting a, you know, the back end of the secondary and all the different calls that go into a defensive coordinator's responsibility. Well, now we have 2-year sample size. And so if we judge it not based on just the injuries, there's no way Pete Golding is here. And if he is, then they know something I don't. But I've not been impressed in 2 years of him calling the plays in Tuscaloosa. Think about Jeremy Pruitt and Kirby Smart. I try to jump ahead. But those are elite defensive coordinators. Elite. Pete Golding ain't in that conversation. He's just not.
Having a chance once again to visit with Ryan Fowler down in Tuscaloosa with Tide 100.9 FM. I have to be honest with you, totally disagree with Nick Saban as far as the way the game played out. I don't think the bottom line is give full credit to Gus Malzahn and that coaching staff and full one over on the coaching staff of Alabama. I do think that the rule as far as the end of the first half, they need to look at that to change that. But did the officials do everything they were supposed to in that situation? Yes. unfortunately, it hurts a team like in Alabama's case, because honestly, if they just said, hey, put a second on, we don't care, there's no way Auburn can get the field goal team out there, that's all fine and dandy. They wouldn't have been able to even get to the everybody lined up to spike the ball either. So, but with all that said, that's still no excuses for not just on Saturday, but the number of penalties this entire year, the lack of discipline displayed by this team, especially with the craziness with the from the offensive line standpoint, with the, you know, the false starts. And we look, that's been a problem for Alabama in the last 4 or 5 years. And I go back to even the loss to Deshaun Watson and Clemson that impacted Alabama in that ball game, for example. But that, I mean, something just didn't feel right about this team this year from that perspective. Your thoughts?
Well, I think you've got a good point. I'm not able to put my finger on it now. See, I feel other, like something just doesn't feel right here in Tuscaloosa.
I have I'll see if you think I'm going down this path or not, because we saw signs of this in 2010, where the sense of entitlement without putting in the work and being I think this team has taken, you know, look, it's great that Alabama's played for 7 national titles in the last 9 years. Let me let that sink in for a second. 7 national championships in the last 9 years. Unfortunately, the 2 years we're talking about, they did not. They lose to Auburn in the Iron Bowl and ugly losses, kick 6 in 2013, and this disappointing loss this year. But I think that sometimes, you know, it's to stay on that mountaintop when other teams want to knock you off. It's great that Clemson beat you, but that was only Clemson. There's still 128 other teams out there, and it's not like you're playing in the ACC. No offense, but they're just okay teams there. The SEC, there's teams that can beat you any given week, and I think that the sense of entitlement has set in. And look, no other, how many programs are out there that have to deal with that? What, 2 or 3 maybe? Alabama and Clemson in the last 5 years, really the only 2 teams that have had to deal with that aspect of it. And we don't know how Clemson is going to be able to do it. Look, we don't even know if Clemson makes the playoff. They lose to Virginia, I don't even think they make the playoff. And so it's a rare situation to be in if you're Alabama, Clemson, as far as keeping your team motivated and finding ways to win these kind of ball games.
Well, and you and I have talked about it multiple times. I think it's one of the great things about this dynasty that he's been able to sustain the success. But I want to go back to what you said. I agree with you. I think we've become fat and entitled, and I'm not talking about fat as in, caloric intake. I'm talking about just...
Or PHAT fat either, for that matter.
Yeah, right. So it's just, we've just become, you know, just kind of like, I think we've taken a lot of things for granted. I think we've just lost an attention to detail. And see, the thing is, you could say that after 1 year and you think, okay, well, you know, because Nick Saban sold us fool's gold. He said we're going to return to the Bama factor. I heard that so much last year, over and over and over and over. Johnny, I don't think they got any closer to the Bama factor. I think they actually went further away from it.
Well, offensively, I'll disagree. And, you know, if Tua Tagovailoa does not get injured, you know, I go back to this. Even how bad the defense was this year compared to previous defenses for Alabama, they still, Alabama and Auburn, going into this past weekend, the only 2 teams in the SEC that were ranked in the top 4 in both scoring offense, scoring defense, total offense and total defense. Alabama, Auburn, the only 2 teams that could be in the top 4 in both of those categories of the 14 teams. But with that said, remember Auburn going into Saturday, they were one of 6 teams to not allow more than 24 points in a game. Alabama, with that field goal that was missed, that 30-yarder, Alabama would have doubled that total on Saturday.
Well, and I think you're making all valid points, but it's just that we've got to be able to refocus this team, and if it's Bama factor, like I guess maybe the Bama factor, we got to talk about what it defines. You know, what does that mean to you? What does it mean to me? Well, I go back to 2007, Nick Saban stood at that podium and said, I want to be the team that nobody wants to play.
Right.
I want to be the team that everybody just does not want to line up against. And I don't know if – I mean, like right now, does anybody fear Alabama?
Yes.
I mean,
yes, they do. Let's just yeah.
Well, you got to remember now. I've been talking to Alabama fans for a few days.
So yeah, no, they still do. I mean, I don't see anybody rushing to add Alabama on their schedule as far as their non-conference portion of their schedule. I mean, here's the bottom line: who did Alabama lose to? They lose by 4 to the team that's currently number 2, and they lose to an Auburn team that's currently ahead of them. An Auburn team, their only losses are to 3 teams that are in the top 8 in the country or so. So, you know, the bottom line is that it's not like people are still lining up to take on Alabama. It's just that, you know, the bottom line is if you're a fan of the Crimson Tide, you have been very spoiled since 2008.
No, I mean, that's very fair. And that goes back, listen, that sense of entitlement, I think it happens across the board.
I agree.
You know, I think it's coaches. I think it's players. I think it's – listen, us as media. My job is on a silver platter of doing college football show in Tuscaloosa. I mean, when you win, but I think we've kind of had that sense of entitlement. And I think sometimes, you know, never losing a championship is a good thing. But if you want to look at it from a good thing, you got to talk about, okay, well, you know, what does that motivate Nick Saban? Because the last 3 games, the biggest games that he's played, he's 0-3 in those games. Now, if you want to put Oklahoma and say, well, you know, add a few days to that, and you say in 12 months, and well, not even that, I guess. You could say 1-3. Okay, well, 1-3. If that makes you feel better, say 1-3. But I look at the 3 biggest games. Nick Saban's 0-3, and he's going to have to find a way to find some, I think, new ideas on the coaching side of things, not offensively, but defensively. And he's going to have to make some adjustments because that's the changes in college football is an offseason that we could discuss for 9 months because where are we going with college football offensively? And, you know, I always ask the question, can you really truly be elite on defense anymore?
I mean, here's the thing. Alabama, even with that loss to Auburn, you're still talking about in the last 58 regular season games, a team that's 55-3, and in 2 of the 3 losses, a combined 2 plays, and you're talking about Alabama with 1 loss in their last 58 regular season games. All right, so the world is not ending tomorrow. It's ugly territory if you're a Bama fan. It's certainly disappointing the fact that, you know, for the first time in 6 seasons, Alabama will not be in the playoff. They made the first 5, but I still go back. They played for a national championship 7 out of the last 9 years. No other team can come close to saying that.
But I promise you, Alabama fans, and like you said, maybe it's a sense of entitlement, but they're not celebrating, you know, a 10-win season, even though that's good for some programs. And, you know, there's programs that we have in this conference that would love to have 10 wins, and they would celebrate it, and they'd make T-shirts and all that. I can promise you, there's not a – and so you can call it whatever you want to call it. But Alabama fans, you know, and that's the monster. You know, A.J. McCarron, I used to talk to him when he was here, and he used to say, well, you know, we built this monster. Now you kind of got to create. I'd ask him, you know, is the standard, is it fair to have that this is a national championship or bust? And he would say, well, that's the monster we've created. We have to deal with it. And that was something that always stuck with me because it is. Is it fair to hold the players to this type of unreasonable expectation? Probably not, but that's what's happened here in Tuscaloosa.
I mean, you go back to the start of 2008, you know, 12 regular season games every year from 2008 to this year. Every week, as far as every time Alabama took the field, except for three games, the national championship was on the line. Only 3, and that was back in 2010 after they lose to LSU when they were a top 5 team. Bama loses to LSU for their second loss of the year, and that takes them out of the consideration. So those last three regular season games of 2010, that's it. Every other game that Alabama has taken the field in the regular season from the start of 2008 to present, the national championship was on the line as far as the opportunity for Alabama to be in that hunt. I mean, think about it. That means the team that's facing you knows that you can, I mean, you've got extra motivation to beat one of the top teams, the top programs in the country, at the same time derail the hopes and dreams. I mean, because until Saturday, Alabama had the longest streak ever in college football history of being in the top five in the rankings, and they had the previous record beat by 8 or 9 weeks. And that goes to the wayside, but still it doesn't mean they didn't establish it. And so, I mean, and the fact that life can be a lot worse than it is. I mean, I sure certainly a very big disappointment. I'll tell you what I'll be disappointed about. I understand there'll be some players sitting out for Alabama's bowl game. I'll be disappointed if Alabama pulls a Utah from 2008 or pulls an Oklahoma in 2013, where they acted and look like it, and they don't show up mentally ready to go to take on the team they're facing. I will be very disappointed in this group if they allow that to set in.
No, and see, that's the other thing that Alabama fans have not dealt with, or, you know, how many guys are going to sit out, which now, you know, I also think we're making an assumption. We don't know if that's going to be the case. I think we're just kind of, you know, okay, well, you know, it's not a bowl that's going to really matter. But who are they going to be matched up with?
It will matter to whoever takes them on. Here's the thing. That's why I'd rather forget about Cotton Bowl. I don't want to see Memphis if I'm Alabama. I want to see a team like Michigan. It's not one in the New Year six games, but the bottom line is you want to go up against a team that has a national reputation if you're Alabama.
Well, how about Notre Dame?
That would be good, yeah, too. But I think Michigan would be even more so with the yakking of Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, wow. You know, I've really not really thought about that because, yeah, I mean, they've kind of got that little rivalry and, you know, the satellite camps and all that stuff that happened a few years ago.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that would add something. And, you know, because I think the Oklahoma-Alabama narrative is not really going to be there. I just think that ship has sailed.
Right. I will say this. Here's extra motivation. You could throw this out there, too, and hopefully it'll get into the ears of the coaching staff if you're looking for extra motivation, because this is one of these records I thought would never be beat or tied or whatever. One Penn set the record back in the 1890s for the most wins. This is when they played a lot more games than they're playing now. But when they won 124 games in that decade, Alabama one win away from tying that mark. I thought it was a record that would never anybody would even come close to. Alabama with a win in the bowl game have a chance to tie what Penn did back in the 1890s.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty incredible. Wow. Stuff like that is fun to from a historical approach, but I got to be honest, man, I don't know how many players that are looking at the first round are going,
right.
Okay, well, you know.
I know.
And you know what? I can't stand it either because, and I know you got the NFL and you got the draft and you got money and you got all this, but when you make a commitment to the university, any university, Tennessee, Kentucky, Alabama, Auburn, Mississippi State, and you say, hey, I'm going to make a commitment. I'm going to give you, you're going to invest in me. You're going to give me my tuition, scholarship, cost of attendance. You're going to have the best medical staff, to have the best facilities. You're making a commitment to these guys. You've signed your name on the dotted line. I have issues with guys setting, and I had it with Leonard Fournette. I had it, Christian McCaffrey out Stanford, but I just have issues with guys, and I hope Alabama doesn't, you know, get to that point because, you know, my same opinion, I can't just throw it away because it's Alabama. I mean, that same opinion is going to apply that I've had in the last few years, and it's going to be, you know, kind of unique to watch and see exactly if Nick Saban's able to manage a little different. And you know, and you may have guys that just don't choose to verbally set out, but they mentally, they may have already checked out. Does that make any sense? Like, you may not have them come out and say, hey, I'm going to set out and I'm going to do this, but, you know, there's all those soft tissues, you know, not feeling good, and, you know, you may have something like that. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how they'll approach that.